It's Susie from MIRP, and I'm here with all of Eyes of Arcane. Just watched you guys play, opening up for Born of Osiris. How did it feel?
Amazing.
Fantastic.
Awesome. It was good.
Do you think that postponing it from February to here, do you think that was a better, like, launch? I know you guys have played two other games. Do you think it was a better launch than the original band?
I absolutely do.
Without a doubt.
Because it gave us, you know, we started with the smaller bar show, a slightly bigger bar show, and then we came to this, you know, and national act.
It was a steady succession from basement to local bar show, and then from that to a, like, ritzier bar show, and then this. So it being postponed gave us the amount of time we needed to learn our communication on stage properly.
Definitely.
And it definitely paid off for the benefit of us in the long run.
With Born of Osiris and metalcore and hardcore and deathcore and things like that, I want to know, when you guys write, you write a song, what comes first, melody, lyrics, and then how do you decide where a breakdown comes through? Is it a feeling? Does one of you say, put it here? Is it like a structured place?
I would say it's more off a feeling. Like, we've tried throwing out the normal algorithm, I guess you could say, of writing songs and structuring songs and bringing back the composition off a feeling, mm-hmm. essentially, and just trying to bring feeling back to the music. See how it feels first. We try, you know, so many things. Through compose everything that we have and tear it apart and rewrite it. And if it doesn't feel right, we kind of go break it down and start over again.
I feel like that kind of comes from, like, our us just being real music lovers. We just love whatever sounds good.
Yeah.
You know?
We're all fans of music that give you the chills.
If it sounds good,
yep,
it goes good.
Yeah. So I was surprised because Cricket, you and I have talked before, but I'd never seen you and I'd never heard anything except for you play solo. So what surprised me with you guys was, one, how tight you were, the interesting place for the breakdowns, and the ambience. It was so full, and with most metalcore bands, you don't get that anymore, or you don't get it at all. When did you decide that that's the direction you wanted to go instead of just being, you know, a regular metalcore band?
At the beginning, go ahead.
Basically, like, you know, how do we want to structure this one? The ambiance kind of came in organically, I would say. You know, because Ryan and I started it originally, and we just didn't want to play what everybody wanted to play. We wanted to kind of just feel it out and make our own way with it. And I mean, like, the bow thing, that actually came due to him, because I saw him across the room playing bow, and I kind of stole it from him, and I was just like, give it to me now. Like, I'm like, in my head, I know exactly what I want to do with this, and it just kind of flew from there. And then him upgrading to the 8-string really kind of made a huge difference between the two of us, because we don't play the same tunings. You know, we have a completely different range as far as our guitar work, but we have one range in the middle to where we can meet up on spots, but then expand the massive wall of sound, I guess.
That must be what causes the fullness. I mean, because it was actually more, I see a lot of metalcore bands, it was actually grander and more full than I mean, I was blown away. I was really surprised.
That and Keith, like, Keith coming in and laying the bass lines down, like, us playing two computers the whole time, it was just dragging us down, and the sound was never exactly what we wanted to, so we had to just keep trying to listen through that and see if we could figure out what we wanted from that. And then Keith came along and he filled the shoes beautifully, and that low end just comes in so well. And
I mean, from the very beginning, we were inspired by music that had that cinematic feel to it and that full structured sound and that wall of sound. And
blossom from there.
Yeah, it's true.
That's awesome, actually. Jack, how'd you get in the band?
It was on Facebook, and Grady posted, like, does anyone in Portland play bass or guitar? And we're just like, no, bass or drums. I'm like, I'll play drums. So I came by, listened to what they were playing. I'm just like, I like this. This is going to be hard, because I don't come from a metal background, but I want to give it a shot. Yeah.
What do you come from?
Mostly rock, funk.
Okay.
Not really jazz. I dabble with it, but, you know. I had a band earlier in Portland named Jade Grenade, and they're kind of metal, but not on this level. It was more like very loud, fast rock.
Okay.
But
he filled it perfectly, because we didn't want a normal metal drummer, someone to just kind of fit in that metal pocket. We wanted someone to do crazy fills and go think outside the box when it comes to the breakdowns and the rhythmic sections, because we kind of dance around rhythmically a lot and that's what he does best.
Yeah, we always definitely push each other too.
Yeah,
we're always pushing the limits on each other.
Nobody's comfortable.
Nobody.
That's good. That's really smart. This is a total compliment. It's going to come out weird, but I'm not a huge jazz fan, but I went and saw the last band that performed with David Bowie, and it was weird jazz. It was like so uncomfortable and so like it was like three people playing completely something different, but then it all came together beautifully. Then it spread back out, and then it came together. I had that feeling with you guys for a little bit. Not that things weren't tight, but it was like everybody was playing something different, and but it made sense. And then you all came together, and it was just like a breath. It was really nice. So that's I don't know. I think it's rare.
Beautiful way of describing it.
I think it's rare when people come together like that, and I think
that's
you guys
awesome.
Have.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's a huge it warms me up.
Yeah, because it's something that we've definitely strived for. You know, we all have very different influences, and one of mine is like Circa Survive. Like their guitarists do the same thing. They're two lead guitarists, and the way they think about music is what I've tried to bring to the table, and he does the same, and it's great.
I've always been so really big into shock value, and I just love looking out in the crowd and seeing people go, "What the fuck?"
And you guys look like a metal band, so that was kind of cool. You guys have awesome
minus the beards.
Awesome beards. Brady, you've been quiet. Tell me, what was the first band or musician that captured you for metal?
With heavy metal, I actually originally didn't like heavy metal, and then I had a buddy of mine. He came to me with Whitechapel's Somatic Defilement, and Phil Bozeman just blew me away, and I was like, I want to be that guy. I want to do vocals like that guy, and it just kind of took off from there.
Which is crazy, because I got to watch that process. Like, because I was his outdoor school counselor.
Really?
Yeah. Like, Jack, I know Jack from back in the day, because him and I jammed back when I was in high school, I think.
Yeah.
When Gunnar Nemechek, him
last
and
time
I
saw this dude, whatever.
Yeah, you know, and so whenever Grady told me that Jack was in the band, it was like, yes, yes, and without a doubt, Jack's got to do this.
So, for music now, is there anything, you know, like new bands that come out, do you follow metal now?
Yes and no. I actually listen to a lot more 90s stuff than metal. I still, like, try to keep up and, you know, see what's going on in the community and stuff, but for the most part, not too much, just here and there, what I used to listen to.
Cricket, inspirations for you, guitar players?
Inspiration for guitar players. That's a really hard thing for me because I grew up in an area that didn't have, internet wasn't available. I wasn't available, plugged in, essentially. So I just kind of had to develop my own style. And since nobody was really around a lot of that time, I just kind of had to get into it. As far as, like, guitar players, I would say Wes Borland was one of my huge influences as a kid. Definitely Head from Korn definitely was a huge influence on me. And then as it grew, you know, getting into System, Lamb of God, Gojira, like, started getting really into the heaviness of it, and that's where my love for rhythms and ambiance really started to expand itself.
Ryan, I'm significantly older than you guys, and so the foundation for the metal that I listen to is like Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, things like that, you know, from the 80s. With a lot of the bands that I interview, they're in their 30s, late 20s, that type of stuff, mm-hmm. and their influences are the later bands, like Korn. Do you see a place for bands like Judas Priest and Iron Maiden to form your music?
I mean, I definitely think that they laid the foundation for everything that exists in heavy music to this day. Everything is built off of the core values that they set in place back then. And I don't religiously listen to those bands, when it does come on, I still sit back and I'm in awe by, you know, how clean they did stuff with the lack of gear and lack of technology that they had. I definitely look up to them in a lot of ways. As far as just inspiration and making me a cleaner guitar player and making me want to strip off some of the technologies that we use to kind of cover up all the nuances, the dirty playing, if you will. I when I listen to those guys, I feel like it still inspires me to this day.
Jack, did you grow up in a musical family? Did you have music playing around when you were a kid?
Yeah, we had a pretty good stereo. There was a lot of what's this? Wow! Jump on the couch, rock out air guitar. Did a lot of that.
Parents or older siblings, did they get you into music?
Well, I'm the oldest, so I'd say whatever the parents played. My dad played drums too, so usually got to see him at church. I do remember one time he brought his kit home for a week, and when he started playing, I just went apeshit. was just like, this is the coolest thing I've ever heard.
How old were you when you started playing?
About 14, I think.
Like, yeah. Any school, like school drumming or anything like that, or just...
I did sixth grade, I was on snare drum, which was boring as hell. And I didn't want to go to middle school or high school. I wanted to be homeschooled instead because I didn't want to get on a full drum set, which is funny. That's one of the reasons. So I was homeschooled, but then I picked up drums myself just like 2 years later. I was jamming at some friend's house and hitting all the wrong notes on the wrong things. I'm just like, why don't you try the drums? You can't hit a bad note on that.
So being bad at something is the first step to being really good at something.
So I could hold down a beat and I'm just like, this feels right.
That was a wise quote. I don't know if you caught it. You might want to say it again.
Being bad at something is the first step to being really good at something. It's from Adventure Time.
Oh, I thought you made it up. Tell me your two favorite bass players.
God. Alex Webster and Rex Brown. Cannibal Corpse and Pantera. Yeah.
I'm going to ask this to Ryan and Cricket. 2 years putting this together. Very little information. 3 years. 2017.
Yeah, 3 years.
It was, okay. Yeah.
Because our relationship formed from our friend Adam Brown. Because I approached him and Adam. Sorry to interrupt.
No.
I do that a lot, so you'd have to stop. But yeah, our friend Adam Brown and I had worked together at a junk removal company, and I was looking to expand players for an album that I was doing and a kind of a thing that I was doing, which didn't end up working out. It was better for us to not do that. So that was 2017. 2016.
I think it was the very end of 2016 because I just moved in with Adam.
Yeah, you just moved in and he was like, I love this guitar player. But yeah, so 3 years.
So watching the buzz kind of surrounding it and being very secretive and mysterious, that was intentional?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why do you think the time is right now?
Because we are having a blast. The connection is there. We're focused on one thing, and that is, like, it's kind of like a statement, and that's brotherhood in business. And that's what creates music, and that keeps everything together. So when you... That's my buddy Sunshine from Black and Blue.
You guys are so scared. Bunch of badasses.
Thanks, Sunshine.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Take care.
Fucking better call me for the next one. I'll come out and kick your ass.
That was Sunshine, who played in Black Luke.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Where were we at?
The secrecy, mystery about it. And why now?
Why now? Yeah, it's just because the brotherhood and the business, we've taken time to develop our product and make sure that when we release this product, our brotherhood is intact. Our what we're trying to do with what we love to do is exactly how we want to represent ourselves. And as soon as that came into play and all the members were in place and everything was just perfect, we let it happen organically and naturally, and we felt like it was time.
We try and just base all of the decisions and the steps that we make off of, like, our gut feeling.
Yeah.
And instead of trying to force things, that's when you get kicked back, and that's when things really don't go your way. So trying to just release and set back and just let things happen, you know, as long as we stay motivated and keep that that momentum moving forward. Which we just wait for that feeling like, yeah, this it's cool, let's do it.
Yeah,
let's
which
pull the trigger.
Didn't come easy because we function as a democracy, so, you know, in that, like, when there's something to bring to the table, it took some time for us to figure out our communication as far as, hey, I got this idea, because I have a tendency to bulldoze everybody, so I'll just be like, whoa, we're doing it. And
I interrupt a lot.
It took a long time for me to, like, set back. I mean, it took almost up until, like, 2 months ago for me to finally figure out how to let go of the reins. Because how the albums are kind of structured, it's going to allow us to keep this going for a long time.
You and I have talked about the album concept. Mm-hmm. Is that something you want to reveal now?
Say it's something we want to reveal quite yet. We still have to put out the first one. And that's what we're in process of doing right now. So hopefully spring 2020, we're going to have the album out. And then from then, if, you know, we do another interview, we start explaining more in depth what the album represents and what angle we're coming at and why.
Will you record locally here?
Yes.
You have a place picked out?
Yes.
Okay. How many songs currently written?
10.
Do you think it's important with how things run today to release singles and videos and things like that? Will you do that social media-wise?
This is what that falls into, that gut feeling. You know, as an opportunity presents itself, whoever it gets presented to, we present it to the group and everybody talks. And as we talk about it, we decide, is this a move we want to do? Is this a move we don't want to do? And how do we want to follow that?
lyrically the direction of the music, would you, if you had to force it into a box, I know it's probably not what you want to do, but if you had to force it into a box, what would you say your message communicates?
The lyrical, keep it just super, super short. Like you were saying, there's a lot that we kind of want to wait to divulge into, but a lot of it just comes down to the understanding, the deep understanding of who we are, decision makings, pain in your life, and just overall just figuring out those feelings in a very unconscious, deep structure.
Do you see a place for a sixth member ever? Any other instrument?
Possibly, yes. Because initially what we don't have, like what we didn't have today, is we do have backtracks. We do have things that are set behind to help complete the overall picture. So, you know, it's about finding somebody who wants to be a part of it, who wants to do something. Because, you know, if somebody needs to do something, that's where we start feeling like the energy of the group suffers. Because that means all hands are on deck because they want to be on deck.
It almost comes down to, like, a frequency wave.
Yeah.
If that frequency wave isn't matching, then it probably won't work out.
Cricket, you and I have talked about that a lot. I'm shocked that you found four other people that share that same philosophy about life and how things organically come together.
It kind of happened that way, but didn't. Like, our housemate, me and Ryan's housemate, Mike, you know Mike, drummer Mike from the DS8 days and Apophis Theory. So we live with him, and he kind of brought in some cool information that helped shape our discovery of our own frequency in that, which, I mean, it required a little bit of madness. I think I was going off the deep end for a little while. we can all agree with that one. If not, I don't know if we recovered from that. But, essentially, it just developed over time as things developed and think we were making connections between one thing and another, you know, from songs to lyrics to why we do one thing versus why we don't. So
late night conversations.
Yeah,
long
hanging out.
Phone call.
Go. Mm-hmm. Can you reveal what that means?
Symbolism. You're talking about this one?
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's on your head. Is it also... you have Cricket. You have it on your hands.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this one, it's derived off of the old Druid symbolism, basically. It's called the Oven.
Know this.
I know what it is. It's called the Oven. How to classify it is not, but it's considered the three rays of inspiration. So... One of the movies that Mike showed us was Sonic Geometry, and so I watched Sonic Geometry. My mind's blowing, so I'm like, "We all gotta watch this." And that was kind of we all watched it, and it just connected. So a lot of the mathematics that go into geometrical shapes kind of helped format our understanding of frequency mathematics and how it all kind of plays together. So we have this because life with the three rays of inspiration, life is not just black and white. It's so much more, but you have to start with black and white. And understanding from the base value of the mathematics of the symbol mixed in with the spirituality that life gives and understanding and deciphering that for your own and discovering your frequency. That's kind of the huge thing we like to do is what is your frequency? And that's kind of what this symbol represents. So like Mike Starry, he's got it tattooed on his neck because the first show his daughter saw was our basement show. That was her first metal show. We were stoked.
And this
is
her first venue show tonight.
This is her first venue show tonight. And what that represented to him meant so much to him that he got the tattoo on his neck, not because of the band, but because of what the symbol represented to him. It was very personal.
There's on Netflix, a documentary on numbers, specifically pi and how it relates to every single thing, every single thing in the world. It's fascinating.
Fibonacci sequence and all that good stuff.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Plans for the rest of 2019? Anything...
Getting back in the studio.
Yeah.
Finishing up recording.
Finishing up the studio's recordings. Getting maybe another couple shows under our belt. We're just going to see what comes to play, you know?
Said let it happen organically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did have one other question. I'm going to just say it in the best way I can. It was really ballsy of you to come out with supporting a national band for your first show. Why did you choose to do that? I'm speaking of Born of Osiris. They canceled, and that's what you're playing tonight. But back in February, you hadn't played anywhere, and you were going to come out with a national band.
Why not?
Why not? The opportunity presented itself. You know, we all do a part of the music. We all do a part of the brotherhood. We all serve a specific role in the business. And when somebody can make a link, why not? It's a good show. It was time. We'd been working in the basement for 3 years, grinding these songs out in secret. It was just, let's get this out. Let's do this, because our times, we're going to miss a window. And that was just kind of the overall vibe, is there was a window that we were going to miss if we didn't get in on this.
Yeah.
And
we're in full support to paying our dues in the local scene and,
yeah.
Supporting all local music, all local art and everything, and forming a brotherhood in Portland and in Seattle and down south a little more. But our vision is to go as big as we possibly can. Mm-hmm. And so whatever we can do to make those huge steps, though we have to pay our dues, I feel like it's our job to do this as quick as we possibly can.
I have to say I'm super, super proud of you guys, because I wasn't sure what to expect. It's always weird when your friend's like, you know, hey, come out and see the show. And I'm like, oh, God, it was so bad. But you guys, I'm seriously blown away. It was really, really good.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank
Last
you.
Question. What are your ultimate, let's say 5 years down the road, where do you want to be?
Here? I want to do this the rest of my life.
Being outside this. A venue.
Yeah, this talking to people. This isn't exactly. A job for us. This is what we want as a career.
It's our life.
Yeah. We're weekend warriors now, but we want to treat this like a business so we can make it the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to talk about? Anybody?
That's a dangerous statement.
Yeah. don't leave the floor open to Cricket.
Yeah. We'll be out here for hours.
Well, thank you very, very much for having me come out.
Thank you.
Thank you so much,
Susan.
Thank you
for coming out.